Authorities in South Korea said today they do not plan to revive strict social distancing rules, despite a recent spike of more than 100 coronavirus cases linked to nightclubs in Seoul. Let's bring in NPR's Anthony Kuhn. And Anthony, what more do we know about this new spike in cases?
Well, this latest cluster, which is the biggest seen in Seoul, is being traced to a 29-year-old man who went to visit five nightclubs and bars in Seoul's Itaewon district on the night of May 1st. And now this cluster has spread to about half a dozen other cities and provinces. And what's really concerning to authorities is they don't know where it began. They think that this 29-year-old man may not be the first case. He may just be the first case they know about. And in fact, COVID-19 has been spreading undetected within local communities.
You know, we've been hearing from health officials that relaxing social distancing restrictions too soon could mean a second wave of infections. And South Korea was known for its ability to quell this disease very early on. Why aren't authorities imposing restrictions in response to this spike?
Basically because they knew this was going to happen and they were prepared for it. Now, it was very distressing for residents, for people who live here, because locally transmitted cases were down to zero for several days in a row before this new cluster hit. But they knew this was going to happen, and so they built it into their new, easier social distancing policies. And President Moon Jae-in said, as long as people keep up their guard, we can return to normal life and, you know, not stress out our public health system.
Okay, so this recent spike in cases kind of falls under the number that they were looking at in the expectation of the number of new cases each day.
That's right. At the same time, they are being very cautious because they're not sure how fast and how widely it's being spread. So what they're trying to do is get out way ahead of it. In those five clubs, there were about 1,500 people on the night that that patient visited. But what they're doing is sending out text messages to anybody who visited the entire neighborhood within a couple of weeks of that night and telling them to get tested. So they've already tested more than 20,000 people in connection with this case, and they're relying on these contact tracing systems using cell phone data, credit card histories, surveillance camera footage to identify people not just who are in the clubs, but who are in the neighborhood and telling them to get tested.
But there's something else. Anthony, what role is the stigmatization of the LGBTQ community in South Korea, and how is this playing out? Because the clubs that you're talking about in question were considered gay nightclubs and bars.
That's right. And as a result, some people who had not gone public with their orientation did not want to get tested. And so the government has told the public, don't discriminate against these people. The virus certainly doesn't. Anyone can get it. And if you do discriminate, it means that these people won't be will be unwilling to get tested. And luckily, South Korea has a very robust civil society, and civic groups have come forth and said they will try to help these LGBTQ groups. And they're slowly beginning to track down everyone who was near the clubs or in the neighborhood.
That's NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Seoul. Thank you so much, Anthony.
You're welcome, Tanya.